the world. How many nations are there with more than 144 million people in it? You think Japan's a big country? Japan hasn't got that many. You think Indonesia's a big country? Indonesia hasn't got that many. There are bigger countries with more than 144 million people in them. China, of course, India, United States, Russia, USSR, maybe one or two others. But if the increase in world population, since we were here last, beloved, we're put together and make a nation, probably the sixth biggest nation in the world, in 2 years' time. How do you think we're doing in evangelizing Japan, an open country? Maybe 115 million people there. What are we going to do about these 144 that have been added to the world's population just in the past 2 years? Because the next 2 years are going to be about the same if the Lord comes. So it's kind of sobering, don't you think? Sit in your hammock. Sing the songs of Zion. Sip a cooling drink. Look at your multiplying library. All the wonderful thoughts you got from the great teacher. But don't forget, millions upon millions of people never yet heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. World opportunities. Pass this on. New fields. This is the year of the child, according to the United Nations. They set aside 1979 as the year of the child. And I have some data here on children. I love the children. This is all world population. This is April the 1st I've got out here. Well, if you wonder what it is today, take 6 million per month and multiply it by 4, that's 24 million, and add on to this figure. Let's think about the children. Children under 1,538 million. Boy, that'd make a children any wonder. You never get all those children together. The trouble is that these parents, especially the Muslim parents, they hate above anything else that you would approach their children. They hate that. They love their children. They're going to guide those children to the precious religion which they stand for. False and all though it is. Isn't that easy? But I thank God for those people. Some people have a kind of a knack for children. And you'd be on a beach or someplace within 5 minutes. I know a woman, I think she'd have 3 or 4 children around. Teaching them a chorus, or singing to them or something. Next thing, getting them a Bible story. The kids watching with open eyes. More gathering all the time. What a wonderful thing to have an act for children. And here you are, new field. These children never rejected the gospel. They never heard the gospel. You say, where can I go? I hadn't been evangelized before. Here you are. Right in your own community. Children growing up all the time. And without the gospel. You might be the first one to give the gospel to the 10 kids in your neighborhood. Isn't that hard? If you have the love of God in your heart. And this is where they're distributed. In Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Oceania, that is the mission fields of the world, 83% of them. Of all these billion and a half children, 83% of them live in the mission fields of the world. And only 17% in Europe, USSR, Canada, and the United States. So that's where the children are. You want a new mission field? There's your chance. Now, the United Nations also decrees their rights. Every child has rights. That's a great word today, isn't it? Well, praise God for those exercised about the children. You can't read this even in the front row of 2020 vision and the telescope. But anyway, there are 10 rights here for every child according to the United Nations. Every child has a right to affection,
love and understanding. Amen? Every child has a right to adequate nutrition and medical care, to protection against all forms of neglect, cruelty, and exploitation, free education, etc., etc. Ten rights of little children. I'm adding on one to the United Nations. Namely, the right to hear the gospel of the love of God. I say that on the authority of God's word. God wants every child to hear the story of His love. The United Nations are not going to tell them. Their governments won't tell them. Their parents won't tell them. Someone's got to come in from outside. And obey the words of the Lord Jesus that suffer the little children to come unto me. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't drive them away. But invite them to hear about the love of God. The trouble is that the parents, the greatest cruelty and injustice and unrighteousness in the world today is a satanic religion which moves parents to force their children into the groove which they've been brought up in before ever they have a chance to hear of the love of God. Now, I don't think that these children are primarily in need of education and nutrition. According to the United Nations, the calorie supply, or the World Health Organization, I should say, the calorie supply concerning the whole population of countries as a percent of the necessary amount to maintain moderate activity, less developed countries, 96%. In other words, that means that 96% the population of the whole, they get 96% of the food they need, the number of calories they need to carry on and maintain moderate activity. That's the word that they use. I'm quoting exactly. So, that's the world as a whole. The less developed countries, the population as a whole. In Africa, 91%. The world as a whole, 107%. The population of the world, taking the world as a whole, we have, 107% of the calories needed to maintain moderate activity. So food isn't really the primary product, primary need. Secondly, education. Children under 15, 37% of them are under 5, 33% are 5 to 9, and 30% 10 to 14. They die off, you see, as they go on, of course. But of those enrolled in school, boys 6 to 11, 76% of the boys are enrolled in school. So that's not really the major problem, is it? And 12 to 17, 55% of all the boys in the world are enrolled in school. Girls, a little lower percentage. 64% of the girls, 6 to 11, are enrolled in school. And 12 to 17, 46% are enrolled in school. So, what we are exercised about, not giving them more food, I like to have a full stomach. I appreciate education, up to a certain point, but there are limits. I heard of a man who said he believed in education, but he said there are limitations. He said, and when he got through grade school, everybody said, oh, you've got to go to high school. Everybody's got to go to high school. You want to get a job. So he went to high school. It wasn't a dropout. When he finished high school, he said, everybody graduates from high school. You've got to go to college if you want to get ahead. So I signed up in college and spent 4 years studying in college. He got a bachelor's degree. But then people said to him, as he was trying to think what kind of a job he would get, say, you've got to be a specialist and get your master's degree. So he went back and got his master's degree. And then finally he said, to come out on top, you have to have a doctor's degree. So he went back and sweated out and got his PhD Then he went out to get a job. You know what they said to him? They said, oh, we're looking for younger men. But on the world level, we're not interested in doctoral degrees, but giving them the gospel, the children's rights to have the gospel. And I would like to say that this is important, because in this very year of the child, here's some news items concerning children. First of all, child suicides soar in Sweden. A sharp rise in the incidence of suicides among Swedish children reflects a worldwide increase in pre-puberty under 12 suicides, according to the World Health Organization. 13.5 of every 100,000 Swedish children, 5 to 14, commit suicide. That was an increase of 27 times from year 1971. In 5 years, went up 27 times. Kids under 12 committing suicide by the hundreds and by the thousands. A recent news item from Cleveland said a teenager confessed to the police he and his sister paid a friend $60 to kill their father because he was too strict. And the teenager got sentenced to 15 years in jail. The boy said that their father was religious and too strict, and so he and his sister gave a friend $60 to go and kill their father. That was in Cleveland. About a month ago. And a more general article says that kids are attacked by their parents. 3 out of every 100 children in the United States are kicked, bitten, or punched by their parents. This is the world that you're trying to keep up with. Of course, I know you would reject that kind of behavior. Isn't it fantastic what kids get treated to? But the worst injustice of all is that they're forced into the religion of their parents before ever they hear a chance to hear about the love of God and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion, I've got some specific suggestions to make for passing it on. That's our theme, pass it on. You want some practical suggestions? Okay, here's number one. Make home calls. You know, the medical profession in early days, if you were sick, you'd get a message to the doctor, and the doctor would come around in his horse and carriage or something, and give you some medicine. But that's sort of passe now, because you've got a car, and you can go to the doctor's place. Anyway, house calls are very rare. Very few doctors will make house calls, except in extreme circumstances. But, as far as you and I are concerned, I heard of a plumber who answered the telephone and said, I'm sorry, madam, we don't make house calls. That was his profession. So all you have to do is take out your plumbing and take it around to his place. He'd fix it up for you. But seriously, we've got to make house calls. There isn't a word in the Great Commission that I've seen about inviting folk in to hear the gospel. That's the way we do it. We said, there's a very good preacher at our chapel, and won't you come around, have supper with us, and then go to the meeting afterwards? That's fine. But I believe that the New Testament method is go. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. Ye shall be witnesses unto things in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's motion, you say. It might be only 10 meters to the person next door. It might be 10,000 kilometers to some distant place. But there's got to be a going, a motion, a hurling of the body. Get into gear and move somewhere. And I suggest very seriously you start by making home calls. That's my first suggestion. Second, revise your priorities. We might have to revise our priorities. You know, in the city of Tron, the great international airport probably averages 100 flights in and out per day. The traffic controllers, grown men, mature men, with very responsible positions, two of them, when the hockey league finals were on the television, they said to the supervisor, "Sorry, we're sick, we can't work anymore." And they went off to watch this hockey game on television. And that worked so well that all the rest of the staff, all the traffic control, air traffic controllers in the airport of the city of Toronto, they all said the same thing. "We're sick, we can't work anymore." They had to go and watch that hockey game. And the traffic was held up until the supervisors could take control. Can you imagine responsible men with such an attitude? Well, that's what they did. Now, of course, you wouldn't put such strong emphasis on sports. Me, I know I'm the opposite side. I find them kind of boring. There's a place for sport. But you might have to revise your priority, whatever your little problem might be. Think of your priority in the light of what Jesus Christ said. You say He's your Lord and Savior. Well, when you say He's your Savior, don't forget He's your Lord too. And He commanded in no uncertain terms, get out and preach the gospel. And you might have to revise your priorities. Many of us, I'm sure, would. Thirdly, put persons before things. Make home calls, revise your priorities, put persons before things. The lady opened the window in her bedroom and said, "Is that too much draft on you, darling?" And her husband in bed said, "No, it's okay." She said, "I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to my plant." Now that's where we live. Things are so important to us. Material, mechanical things, possession. Put persons before things. And finally, get information. To pray, you have to have information. We have some sample copies of the Christian Missions magazine, which will be out for your taking tomorrow if you want one. We have two more that we send out without charge from our own work, everyday publication. One called The Daily Battle, which gives an item for prayer for every day in the month, following the same order as this book. First day, South Africa. Second day, Rhodesia. Third day, Zambia. Set the same order as this book. Gives you a little prayer item, an up-to-date prayer request from each field. We'll send this out without charge by first-class mail. This one goes every week. It's called the Mission Telephone. It also goes out first-class because if it went any other way, you might as well forget about it. We have in Toronto, in Canada, we have what we call bullock cart postal service. And that's what some of us call it. And anyway, it might take 3 weeks for a thing to get there by a printed matter rate. We send it by first-class mail. It costs 17 cents a piece. We'll send this to you without charge, late prayer items, but you've got to get information to pray. And you have to have information to give wisely. I think we should give sacrificially. In order to do that, we might have to live frugally. But we should also give wisely. Some people give very, very spontaneously, emotionally. They hear a big appeal, they give, sometimes very, very generously. In a certain office, they were always taking up a collection for something. And the man was coming home saying, "Well, they took up a collection again today." So she said this day, "What did they take up a collection for today?" He said, "You'll never guess what." He said, "They took up a collection for the widow of the unknown soldier." So she said, "Isn't that silly? They might have known the government was looking after her." But you don't stop and think. You know, many of these organizations think nothing of using 50 to 75% of the money they collect just for their office expenses, for administration. I saw quite a big organization the other day. I won't mention the name of it. But I believe that that it took them about 50 cents out of each dollar they collected, cost them that much to raise the money. Well, you say, "Thank God for 50 cents going up the mission field." Okay. It's an awful expense. We'll hear about what the Christian Mission Many Lands spends for office expenses. What is it? 5%? 8%? 7%. But anyway, know what you're giving to. And if necessary, go. If the Lord calls you, then you will be able to go if you know more about it. So we ask you to get the information from these sources and wherever you can. Know what's going on. Pray intelligently. Give intelligently. And send forth those of your assembly who are qualified to serve the Lord in that way. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. We thank Thee for the riches which we have in Christ Jesus. We thank Thee also for His command to share these riches with others, the gospel of the grace of God. Thank Thee for those who have convened this conference. We pray that we might have a never-deepening missionary vision as we consider the need of this world and the great reservoir of truth which we possess. Lord, make us much more diligent in getting it out to our neighbors, to our town, to our community, to the ends of the earth. We ask Thy blessing this day on the meeting this evening and our fellowship together. We commit ourselves to Thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.